who don't know me, my name is Diewald. I'm the youth leader at Chauffeur Joburg. It's always a privilege just to come to Bloemfontein and be able to preach the word. Marius and Gerda sends their regards from Hartenbos. They're just relaxing a bit there by the sea. I wish I could do that as well, but it's me really just nice to be here this morning. So before we delve in, I'm going to pray first and then I'll jump in. Father, thank you that I can just have the privilege of honoring you this morning. Thank you that I can have the privilege, Father God, of worshipping you and really just bringing your word, Father. And I pray, Lord, that your word will fall on fruitful soil this morning, Father God. Thank you, Father, that every seed that's sown, Father, you will come and water and it will come up, Father. I pray, Lord, everything that's not from your heart, Lord, it will fall on the ground, Father God, and really just disappear from our minds. Because, Lord, it's all about you this morning, Father. Thank you for who you are, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this whole week and the past couple of weeks, I've really just been battling with God a little bit around what is discipleship and how should a disciple look that's following God. And it's been quite a journey for me just to try and understand, okay, this is how a disciple is supposed to look according to the word of God, and this is what I'm actually doing, and this is what I need to lay down. But the one scripture God brought to my heart is Luke 9 verse 21 to 24. I just want to read it for you quickly. He just says, "And Jesus strictly warned them not to tell anyone. And he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." And that word just hit me so hard. Like, if I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, I have to deny myself, I have to pick up my cross, and I have to follow him. And as I was just like starting to do a little bit more introspection about, okay, what does the word actually mean? What does it mean to deny myself? And the more I did research, I actually found that denying yourself and picking up your cross is basically the same thing. And why would God come and emphasize that? Why would he basically twice tell us we have to deny ourselves, we have to follow him, but that means that we have to actually come to a place where we're like, Lord, it's not about me. And one of the toughest things that we can actually do in this world right now is deny ourselves. Sorry guys, I just want to get my notes here in front of me. I completely forgot to open it. And so the first thing I want you guys to see is that when Jesus says you have to take up your cross, what does it mean for us today? Has any of you ever seen someone carry a cross? I haven't seen that yet. Right? But when Jesus told them, you have to pick up your cross, they instantly knew what this meant. Because they saw how people get crucified on a weekly basis by the Romans. They knew that the impact of someone coming, walking through the streets with this heavy thing on their backs. They've been beaten, they've been flogged, they've been spat on, they've been ridiculed. They know that's something serious that they're being called to do. And in Christianity today, when we tell someone, pick up your cross, they're almost like, is that a question or are you, no? Okay. They're almost like, when I tell someone pick up your cross, they're almost like, that's not that difficult. Oh, I can do that. And Christians in this current century that we're living in has become soft. And I'm saying that with all respect. And I'm saying that with all love. And I'm preaching to myself firstly here. But we've become soft. Because in churches, we nowadays, it's almost like a hyper-grace mentality that we take. Oh, you've slept with your girlfriend before marriage. Oh, that's okay. Don't worry. We'll pray for you. Life is going on. Don't stress about it. Oh, you were disobedient to what God was saying in your workspace or at school or there in Spar the other day. Oh, that's okay. Don't worry. You'll get another chance. And we become soft because we constantly communicate, oh, God is love. Oh, God is forgiving. God is graceful. But we don't see the side of God that's just. The side of God that disciplines us. And the reality for us is, when we hear deny yourself, we think, oh, okay, I just have to go more to church, I have to go more to small group, and we just lean over to, I have to do more works. I have to do more for God so that God can see me, so that I can become greater in God's eyes. And that's not at all what God is saying. That's not at all what God is trying to minister to us here. When he says deny yourselves, he means we have to lay down all our expectations, all our anticipations, all our fleshliness, everything we love in this world, we have to say, Lord, you come first. You come first. And it's such a difficult thing for us to do because we are in a world we are growing up in a world that says, it's about me. If you are okay, then everything else is okay. If your heart is not feeling nice about something, ah, it's okay, don't worry about it. But God says, it's not about what you feel, it's not about how you want to do it, it's about what I want, it's about what I need. It's about us glorifying God. We had about 3 weeks back, we had a local mission going out, and it actually struck me again, like, how we are raising the church. And they were supposed to go to Heidelberg for the weekend, and then on the Saturday, they just, like, completely cancelled the mission. And I was like, okay, so why did you guys cancel me? Was there, like, a felt fire? Was there, like, hailstorms? What happened? No, there wasn't water. I was like, okay, so you didn't go to Heidelberg for one night because you were afraid you weren't able to shower at the end of the evening. Is that... And I realized, like, wow. Is that how we're raising the church? I'm afraid to go reach out to people who need God because I can't shower the evening. And it convicted me so much. I was like, Lord, why don't I do because of comfortability? Why don't I do because it's not a nice environment for me to be there? And on our way, as we were prepping for Pastor Summit, we all got the reports on social media. Hermanus is flooding, and it's like everything is chaos. And you get there, and you're like, why did you guys film around here? Like, everything is standing, everything is working. The only problem is we don't have water. And that's not even a big problem, because there's 50 JoJo tanks outside, and you can just go collect water whenever you want to. And I was challenged in that environment, like, Lord, how many other people are not doing what you want them to do? Because there's something that's, like, kicking their comfortability a bit and challenging them a little bit. And in that moment, I asked myself, am I willing to deny myself? Am I willing to say, Lord, even if it's 45 degrees outside and there's no JoJo tanks, am I still going to be there? Am I still going to seek your face? And I feel it's something we have to ask ourselves a lot. Are we denying ourselves? Are we actually picking up our cross? Because God is not calling us to comfortability. God is calling us to death. Those guys that were picking up their cross, they knew they weren't going to get out of the situation without dying. And then Jesus goes further and he says, but we don't have to do it only once, we have to do it daily. We have to tell our hearts, it's not about you. Right? If we look at Moses, where he came before the Lord and he said, Lord, I can't go to Egypt, I can't go to the Pharaoh because look at, I'm stuttering. Lord, look, I can't do this because of this. And the Lord says, don't worry, I've got you covered. I've got this. Why are you focusing on yourself? Why are you focusing on your own limitations when I have got this? And the reality for us is that when we come into this place of saying, it's about me, right? I don't know if you guys have seen this movement that's coming through America at this moment, the My Truth movement, right? Everyone is like, live your truth. It's your truth here and your truth there, and you don't have to do anything that's outside of your comfortability, and you don't have to do this. And then I want to come in and say, but is that Christianity? Because yes, God is love. Yes, the Lord does care about us. Yes, He is going to look after us, and His grace is enough for us. But God is challenging us every single day and asking us, are we willing to do what He is going to do? And we're seeing something here that God is coming in and He's saying, but I'm not asking you to do anything I haven't done yet. And we can see that God is saying that many times in His Word, He says, follow me. I will do what I've seen the Father is doing. Right? Paul comes and he says, follow me as I follow Christ. And yet the world has come in and said, no, follow me as I follow my Christ. And it's easy to step into that place of, I can't go in missions because my legs become sore after I walk 5 kilometers. Or it's easy to say, I can't go speak to that person at office because they're actually my boss and what if they fire me? Right? And then I want to come in and challenge you. This week, I felt God giving me a word for the international leader of Shofar, Heinrich Titus. And it wasn't a nice word. And I sat there for half an hour and I was like, Lord, isn't there someone else that can give this word to this person? Like, I don't want to go talk to him. I'm actually a bit intimidated by him. And I really felt God is saying, you need to deny yourself. It's just not about you. And I had to go to him and I said, Heinrich, this is what I experienced during worship. I feel this is a warning for the church. Please pray into it. And then I apologized for not going through all the channels that you actually have to go through, local pastors and then the A-team and then whatever. And I just said, I'm sorry that I'm not going through all these channels, but I really feel this is an urgent word that I need to get to you directly. And it's difficult when you're standing there in spar and saying, and the Lord is saying, Holy Spirit is like really expressing my heart. You need to pray for this person for sickness. You need to pray for them for their parent or for their daughter. And we're standing there and we're like, I'm done paying now, Lord. Can I go now? In that moment, even if there's a line of 20 people behind us, we have to be obedient to what God is saying. And I'm not saying I'm getting this right. I'm struggling so hard with this. I'm struggling so immensely. Stopping in the store and saying, Lord, who do you want me to pray for? Because I can feel the Holy Spirit is working in my heart. But then the Lord comes in and He says, you need to deny yourself. And I want to quickly read for you out of Luke 14, verse 25. And I want you to see the seriousness of what God is saying here. And He says in Luke 14, verse 25, He says, large crowds were traveling with Jesus. And turning to them, He said, if anyone comes to me, and does not hate his father and his mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, such person cannot be my disciple. Now Jesus is not saying you have to literally hate the people next to you, but he's saying your love for God has to be to such an extent that when people want to discourage you from doing his will, you have to be able to say, I'm not listening to you. He was almost like pulling Jesus on them and be like, get behind me, Satan. For you're not in the Father's will right now. And I'm talking, once again, a lot to myself, because there's a few times where I felt I need to do missions or I need to organize a youth camp. Our first youth camp was in 2019, and I was organizing it. I had a lot of leaders in the church coming to me and be like, Diamond, are you sure you want to spend 50,000 rand on 7 kids? Are you sure you want to spend all these resources, all this time on 7 kids? Are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure you heard right? And I had to tell them, I am sure I heard right. I know what I'm supposed to do. And because of that obedience, we can go to youth camp this year and see 80 to 100 kids coming to pitch to follow Jesus. And it started with 7. And I had to, in that moment, decide, am I going to listen to God or am I going to listen to people trying to lead me away from God with the best intentions I might have? In their hearts, they were looking after me. In their hearts, they were trying to look after the church's finances and stewardship. But what they didn't realize is that God had a bigger plan. And on that youth camp, we saw family being created among the youth. We saw people's legs grew out of 2 centimeters. We saw people's backs straightened. And all of that wouldn't have happened if I didn't fight for what God is saying. So in that sense, we have to hate the people next to us in seriousness for our love for God. We have to exalt Him above everything else so that we can walk in His will. Because unfortunately, the people around us don't always see what God is doing like you do. So we have to fight for it. And it's that moment that we have to understand that God is working. But if we don't deny ourselves, if we don't deny our own expectations, you know what we are doing? By not denying ourselves, we are denying others the opportunity to hear from God. That's the reality for us. Because in that moment where God is prompting us to pray for someone, or prompting us to just start a conversation, and we say, Lord, no, maybe not this time, we are prohibiting that person from coming to God. And we have to stand up and say, Lord, I repent of not denying myself. I repent of not picking up my cross. I repent, Father God, of not bringing that person into your kingdom as you wanted to. And we're also denying ourselves the opportunity of seeing how God is working and building our own faith. And if we go a bit further, we see in Luke 22, verse 43. So I'm going to quickly read it for us. It says, I'm just reading from verse 40. It says, on reaching a place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. And here we see Jesus, just before he's being crucified, he kneels before the Father and he says, Father God, if I don't have to be crucified today, please let that happen. But not yet, not my will, but your will be done. Isn't that a beautiful picture of God showing us how Jesus had to deny himself? Jesus' fleshliness was popping up and saying, I don't actually want to do this. I don't want to go through the crucifixion. But yet he said, Lord, even if I have to die twice, I will do it. Because it's not about me. And Jesus had to deny himself to the point where his sweat became like blood. Have we ever been in that situation? Where we're so filled with anguish about what we're supposed to be doing that our sweat becomes like blood? I've never been there. But yet, if Jesus didn't deny himself, we wouldn't be sitting here today. We wouldn't be able to worship him. There would not have been any way for us to actually get to God if Jesus did not deny himself. And yet, I once again say this, that Jesus is not asking us to do something that's weird or what he has not done yet. He's asking us to follow him. Like he followed God. Are we willing to do that? Can we sit here this morning and say, Lord, I have counted the cost. I know what you've said and I am willing to do it. Even that means I have to quit my job and go to Iran for 4 years and preach the gospel there, not knowing how the finances are going to look, not knowing what I'm going to do there, but I'm willing to follow your word. It's time that we start seeing that being a disciple of Jesus Christ, it's not a fluffy thing. It's not a thing that happens on our time. It's not a thing that we can control. It's a thing of obedience. It's us saying, here I am, Lord. I will lay down my desire. Yes, Lord, I want to be at the sea. I want to dip my feet in the sand and just relax. But Father, you have called me to preach the word. Because we're seeing so many things, our Christians are becoming soft in their way they're approaching God. We're seeing this in America a lot. I'm following the reports that's coming back from churches in the LGBTQ movement. And you've got a lot of churches pitching tents at these events. And they're not praying for people. They're just telling people Jesus loves you. Don't worry, you can still walk in your sin, live in what you want to live in, but Jesus loves you. And I can guarantee you, if Jesus was actually there, he would throw over the tables and be like, this is a place of worship. What are you doing? We need to deny ourselves. We need to pick up our cross and we need to start following Jesus. Not to 5% of us, but to 150% of us. Following Jesus as he followed God. Are we willing to do that this morning? Are we willing to say, Lord, here's my life. Do with it whatever you want with it. As long as I'm glorifying you. Can we say that this morning? I know I'm battling with that. I know I'm struggling to come before the Lord and say, Lord, here's my life. Do what you want with it. Sometimes it's just more fun to sit on a couch and watch the rugby. Right? It's more relaxing to just go to church events and be surrounded by a community. But when God tells you, I need you to go to this event and just be the light that I've called you to be. Then we're like, Lord, that's a bit more uncomfortable. Are we willing to sacrifice our comfortability for God? Are we willing to say, Lord, here is my heart. I don't want to deny people your grace, your word, your love anymore. Are we willing to do that? There's so much effort that we're going to have to put into that. because it's easy right now. It's easy just to come to church, just to go to small group. But it's difficult. And God challenges us, talks to us clearly, and we have to listen. We have to be obedient to what He's saying. You guys can stand with me. We can just close our eyes just for just 2 minutes. Let's just start doing business with God where we are at now. Just start asking ourselves the question, what is withholding us from living fully surrendered to Jesus Christ? What is withholding us from stepping into that place of saying, Lord, here's everything I have. Help me to worship You with everything inside of me. Just do business with God, just for 2 minutes. Just while everyone's eyes are closed, if there's anyone standing here this morning that feels, I've actually been walking away from God. I've been neglecting Jesus in my quiet time. I've been neglecting Him in my worship. I've been neglecting Him at work. If there's anyone that feels that they just want to come back this morning, I'm not going to ask you to step out or anything like that. But I just want you, while everyone's eyes are closed, can you just raise your hand? I'd just love to pray with you. Let's just start coming back to God's heart. Coming back to our first love this morning. I can see that hand. You can put it down again. Father, this morning we come, Lord, and we surrender. Lord, we come and we repent, Father God, that we have not search for You in our workplace. We have not prayed for our colleagues. We have not prayed for our wives or our husbands, Father God. Lord, this morning we come and repent, Father God, that we've not been able to hear Your voice and do what You want us to do on campus. Lord, this morning, Father, we come and we really just resurrender our hearts before You. We resurrender our thought patterns, our mouths, Lord God, before You, Father God. Lord, we come and glorify You this morning, Father, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, this morning we want to come and say, Lord, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to deny our comfortability. Help us to deny, Lord, our hearts and what we feel and how we feel. Help us, Lord, to be so sensitive to what Your Holy Spirit is saying. Lord, at the end of the day, it's about You, Father God. Lord, when You call us to pick up our crosses daily, may we be obedient to that. May we lay down our insecurities, Lord. May we lay down our excuses. Father, yeah, Lord, so many times we say no, but I don't know how to talk to someone about Jesus. Lord, I'm an introvert. I don't know how to start a conversation. Lord, I pray that You would help us to lay down those excuses, those insecurities, those things prohibiting us from ministering to people Your word, Father. And start trusting You. You will start a conversation. You will lead us in prayer. You will lead us in what to say and what not to say. Please, Holy Spirit, come speak to our hearts right now. Come and speak to our hearts right now. I just pray for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank You, Father, that I can come and pray a blessing of every person here and every person that couldn't make it this morning, Father. I pray that You would bless them. I pray, Father God, that You would really, Father, just come and hold your hand of protection over every person here. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless their quiet times. Bless their time with you. Bless their time in the Word, Father. Thank you for who you are, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.